Welcome to Nintendo Dads, episode 40. On tonight's episode, we're joined by Eugene from the Magic Hour podcast, and we discuss more Splatoon, some Mario Maker, and reliving some of our childhood memories with games. Owen, Zach, roll out.
You got the touch! You got the power!
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Nintendo Dads Podcast, Transformers Edition. My name is Zach Erickson, and tonight is August 19th, 2015. You know what? Here's the thing with this music. Immediately that I'm noticing is there's somebody singing underneath me, and I don't like it. We're gonna roll with it anyways. Joining me tonight is Justin Masson. What's going on tonight, Justin?
Yeah, I'm back. Dave was in my spot last week, took my chair, kept it nice and warm. But I am back. And for those of you that don't watch the YouTube channel or our stream, please come back and watch it, because the 5 seconds of Zach lip-syncing to that Transformers music was the best thing I've seen all day. So check it out.
Very cool. Joining us as well is Jesse Waldack from VGTribune.com. What's going on tonight, Jesse?
Good. Just in case you didn't know, when you changed the title on the Twitch page, it didn't get changed back. So when we started streaming, it said, "The Mildly Racist Game Boy Classic." I'm like, what the hell? Thanks, Zach.
Yeah, I know. I was doing a little bit of streaming. I'm going to talk about that a little bit later. Joining us as well, Eugene from the Magic Hour Show podcast. Is the Magic Hour Show, what do you formally go on the title card there?
It's the Magic Hour Show. The
Magic Hour Show, right on.
That's right. Yeah, thanks, Zach. Yeah. Good to be here.
Right
on. So the Magic Show Hour didn't make the cut?
No, and the Magic, the Show Magic Hour didn't, no, it wasn't good either. So we had a focus group. You know, we got them together and said, "Hey, what do you think of these podcast titles?"
That's the only way to go nowadays.
Yeah. So, no.
Well, thanks for being on the show. We appreciate it.
Hey, yeah. Thanks for having me. And thanks, Justin, for coming on the show on our show yesterday. So it's like crossover week here.
Exactly. For those of you that don't know, Eugene and I will be starting our own Buddy Cop show after this, but we've moved it from New York to Montreal to keep it Canadian and keep within our CBC funding. So awesome. That's what we're going to do.
It reminds me of like those like weird shows where it's like CSI, and then eventually it's like, oh, but we got to take this victim to the hospital, and then like it's continued on to this week's Grey's Anatomy.
Exactly.
So anyway.
And hopefully I'm not like the dead body, so we'll see how it goes.
No, you're like the suave doctor or whatever. I don't know.
Oh yeah, do I get to say those like corny lines at the end before the commercial break? That kind of stuff.
You've got to take your glasses off and pause dramatically.
Yeah, okay.
Or on, depending on who you are.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Sure.
Absolutely. Well, hey guys, we've got some news to talk about. We've got some Splatoon to talk about, all sorts of stuff. So let's head straight into the news, shall we?
Let's do it.
See, the thing is, immediately that I'm noticing is that I felt a lot less self-conscious about jamming out to my own bumpers before I was on video. So, also, I'm noticing that Audacity is a spinning wheel of death right now, which is great. So the usual will apply, I think, Jesse, for getting the bumper.
Always.
The audio. What the crap, dude? I hate this technology, man. We'll figure it out. Okay, we'll figure it out. That's why we have backup. First off tonight is our Splatoon Rainmaker update. Splatoon, obviously we had... When did this come out? Friday? Friday night?
Wasn't the Rainmaker like Tuesday of last week?
Was it?
I think so.
Regardless of when it was, it came out and it... Did anybody else here get to play it? I played it a little bit and it is freaking fun.
Yeah.
It is actually, I think, as far as ranked battle goes, it's the best one so far. Absolutely. Justin or Justin, did you get a chance to play it?
Yeah, so I had an opportunity. I played for about probably 4 or 5 hours over the weekend, which is rare for me to get like a lot of time to game play.
Yeah.
But I did, and it was really fantastic. I was a little bit hesitant because I thought it was very much like Tower Control, mm-hmm. but I thought they did a great kind of adjustment with the actual like weapon and the shield. So now Eugene, you've got Splatoon, and you're playing it, and I think you play with your kids too, right?
I do, mostly I watch them play, and then I play, and they watch me play, because, you know, they don't have local co-op, really, in this game, but...
That would have just been, like, it seemed like just couch co-op, side by side.
Yeah. So, nice. I mean, there's the Battle Dojo, but, you know, it's not really the same. It's just one-on-one, and you're popping balloons, so, I mean, it's fine. It is what it is. Yeah, I actually got to play a little bit of the Rainmaker mode tonight, actually, just before we started recording. So my blood is pumping. My heart is racing. It's good. It was good. Yeah, it's intense. It's more intense than Tower Control. And I like it. I like it. Yeah. I didn't, we mostly won. So maybe that's why I like it.
There you go.
So, you know, I'm up. I'm up to like B minus 60 or something like that. So, you know.
Oh wow.
So, it's all right.
That's not bad.
It's not bad. Yeah, I went up a little bit.
That's better than I am.
You don't want to know where I'm at.
I got like C plus, and I thought I was doing good. But yeah.
Well, I mean, it's C plus, B minus. It's
yeah. It floats back and forth, eh?
It's all the same.
But yeah, no, it's so, yeah, I love it. So basically, for those of you who haven't played it yet, so everybody has a rush to the center of the map where the Rainmaker is, and essentially there's like this shield that's around at first that you have to fill the shield of your specific color, and then it will explode in that color, and then you run and grab the gun. And
I was saying on Eugene's show last night, the Magic Hour, that I thought that was a really interesting concept. Because of the fact that as that shield is, you're battling for that shield,
yeah,
you know, and you're both kind of fighting for it. Both teams are throwing their paint in. You can see it glowing. It's, you know, yellow or blue. It's yellow or blue. And there becomes a split second where you realize that all of a sudden you've either run out of ink or they're about to win that item, and that shield explodes and you dive from that shield exploding. So I think that's a really interesting concept because you have players who commit to that, right? They're there. They're trying to win that. And then you have one or two players who are wiped out because that shield explodes, and now the other team has an advantage of, hey, you know, they've got to respawn, and I can get, you know, X meters forward before. And I thought that was a really interesting function to that, actually. I don't know. What do you guys think?
Yeah, it totally caught me by surprise. Sorry, go ahead, Eugene.
Yeah, the shield is, I mean, it's like the Zapfish shield at the end of the single-player levels, you know, that... The shield that protects the thing, yep. You know, and in those levels, you just shoot it, explodes, and you get the thing, right? But here, you know, it matters who started, who's had more paint on it, and yeah, for sure, what you were saying, Justin, yeah, definitely, you have to decide, like, are you gonna hang in there and just hope that the tide turns in your favor? So that's pretty tense. I like it. That's good. Yeah. It's high risk, high reward.
Absolutely,
that's good.
Absolutely, very cool. Also for Splatoon, we have the announcement of the next Splatfest, which is coming on the last weekend of this month. So Friday the 28th, that evening, and then the 29th, all day Saturday, is Autobots versus Decepticons. Hence the opening music there. For those of you who are too young to recognize that music, also probably not Nintendo dads, my guess would be at least.
From the 1986 Transformer movie starring Leonard Nimoy as one of the villains. If you have not watched that and you've only watched the Michael Bay stuff, you're doing yourself a disservice.
Wasn't Orson Welles like Galvatron, yep, or Unicron?
Yep.
I forget which one, but that was just great cast.
Yeah, super.
That is the very first movie that I distinctly remember seeing in the theater and that I saw with my father.
Cool.
And he fell asleep.
Nice. So what do you guys think? Like, this is the first, obviously this isn't the first, well, maybe not obviously, this isn't the first third party sort of product placement that has been in Splatoon. There was the Japanese one with the with the different kinds of noodles, right, or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so we've seen that there. How do you guys feel about this? Are you like, oh, man, like, get your stuff out of my game? I personally am totally jazzed about it. Like, as soon as I saw it, I was like, oh, man, that's some pretty cool fan art. No, wait, what? This is real? Like, you know, I thought it was pretty cool.
Yeah,
I don't...
It's based on the artwork that I saw, it's a tie-in to the current running animated show, mm-hmm. which I think is being underutilized because Cartoon Network is airing it at 5:30 in the morning. What?
And it's brand new?
Yeah, it's in its first season run. I talked about it on the show before,
right.
where Bumblebee is the lead of the team.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
And he's trying to come up with his own catchphrase, and it just never works.
Oh, that's right, yeah. Well, so, yeah, I think it's pretty cool. You know, I would love, I'm sure they won't do this, but, like, anytime you transform, I remember actually the playing, I can't remember what the game was. We've talked about it before, even, the Transformers games on the 360. Where basically the transforming mechanic was almost similar to how, like, the feel of turning into a car in this old Transformers game would actually feel pretty similar to what Splatoon was like, as far as the swimming goes. Like, you would transform and then go real fast and then transform again, right? You'd kind of have a button press in the middle there, but...
Especially if you were playing Starscream or one of the other jets.
Right, but the feel was the same. I would just love, they're not going to do this, but just have some sort of like, as you like transform to the script, something like that.
Probably yeah. not, because the action in game is just too instant.
Yeah.
You know, you need to have that half second delay for it to be beneficial.
Like place it with like robot skinned versions or something. They're not going to. They're not going that far. It's just the t-shirts, but.
Yeah. I think this does raise kind of an interesting question, right? And I'd be kind of interested in kind of hearing the panel's thoughts on this. And this is kind of like advertising in games, mm-hmm. right? Because this is essentially what they're kind of doing, right? And I know we kind of made the joke on Eugene's show last night, like, you know, until we start seeing like, you know, brawny towels versus, you know, quicker picker up or whatever else it is. Like, this is the first time I think I've really distinctly seen advertising really in a game. And we know this game is aimed primarily at younger children, right? Like, we know we've seen their commercials, their demographics, what they're aiming for. They're aiming for the 10 to 15 year old kids. Although, you know, it's notable that we are all over the age of 30 and are playing Splatoon. However, like, what are your guys' general thoughts on that from a parenting perspective, like advertising to our kids in games? I don't know. Eugene, what are your kind of thoughts?
Yeah, for me, like, you know, my mind goes back to the Mario Kart Mercedes tie-in, right?
Yeah,
where you get those cars. And, you know, to me, that felt kind of weird. Like, but, you know, okay, it's kind of like, this doesn't seem like the right market for that.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, Transformers and, you know, it's the right demographic, I think. And it's cool. So, I'm okay with it. I think when it becomes like products and things that are not that cool, then I'll be like, well, you know, why are you doing this? Is it just for the money? It's too cynical, I guess.
If the Autobots win the Splatfest and I go to Toys R Us a week later and I see 75% Autobots on the shelf, you know, basically the numbers matching what we see from the winning results, I'm going to have an issue with some of these kind of like indirect pollings of our customers.
Well, and here's the thing. Yeah. Here's the thing about this particular one, though. And my assumption is that it was kind of similar in for the Japanese Splatfest as well. Is that the Transformers hit this really good sort of crossover demographic where you've got on one hand you've got the kids who are watching the new TV shows, and then on the flip side you've got, you know, the more
30-year-old men sitting in their basements.
The older Nintendo fans who are also, you know, a big part of Nintendo's market, and they're like, oh, awesome, I loved Transformers as a kid. And so it kind of hits both of those at once, which is really, really smart. So as long as they're doing that, I'm okay with it. So, as long as I'm not seeing, like, some weird, you know, ultra kiddy sort of Splatfest. Then again, I mean, what was Hot Dogs versus Mush?
Yeah.
That was about as kiddie as you can get.
You know, and I guess, you know, we haven't, you know, and first and foremost, the Splatfest voting isn't up yet, so you can't
instead ahead of time. Like, to build the hype even more because they know, like, you could tell this is the last one of the summer.
Yeah.
This is the one that they're going out with a bang. And so they've even announced it ahead of time because they want to make sure everybody knows about it. And something we don't have in the notes either is that in North America, I don't have the dates in front of me, but they actually have announced additional test fires for Splatoon. Yep. So they're really trying to bring more people into this game between Transformers and the Splatfest coming out. So,
well, I think here's a couple interesting things that I think about for that. And we've seen the results in the last little bit. Splatoon has been moving units. Mm-hmm. We have seen units getting sold for Splatoon. There's hype around it. Nintendo has openly said they didn't think it'd be as big of a hit as it was. They had shortages in Japan when the game was released. You cannot find the 3-pack of Amiibo for it. Now that's just the whole other issue altogether. But and it continues to be in the top 15 to 20 in the game rankings and purchasing on the NDP numbers in almost every country. So Nintendo's realizing they actually have a bona fide kind of hit on their hands. That's moving the console. So if we can continue to get that momentum rolling, and there's a lot of hype around Mario Maker, that's going to start.
3 years.
Sorry?
It only took them 3 years.
And that's exactly it. Like, it feels like now it's hitting that stride, but we all know that that NX is sitting on its horizon. So this is a very weird spot for Nintendo as an organization to be, but they want to make their money back on it. Because if they can bring in a fan on the Wii U for playing Splatoon or Mario Maker, then hopefully that person transitions over to the NX or the quality of life or whatever is going to be there. But I guess, you know, here's a question I would have for you guys as it relates to success of Mario Maker and Splatoon. And I, Eugene, I want to hear your thoughts on Mario Maker in a little bit, especially from a dad perspective and from kind of building time. And I think you mentioned you had a little bit of hands-on either time or experience with it. Do you think Nintendo, if Mario Maker and Splatoon become these hits for them, these snowball hits, would they delay the NX for an additional year, presuming that we're using the assumption that's coming out in November of 2016, do you think they delay it if both of these continue to build Steam? Not codename Steam, because that was a flop.
I liked that game. Dang it. That was a good game. Eugene, what are you thinking about that?
Well, first of all, I don't think the NX is coming in the fall of 2016. So that's just my personal view. I think they're true to what they're saying in the sense that we will talk about it next year, but I don't think it's going to launch next year. So that said,
that's pretty reasonable.
I don't know. I don't feel like they're going to delay something to. I don't know. It's they've hard to
it,
say.
If, yeah. They, yeah, have they, as a note, they've done it before.
A whole console, huh?
They've done it before. They had They're Game Boy Advance
stick to their schedule.
They've it had Game ready. Boy. They've had yeah. Game Boy Advance ready to go, but Game Boy Color was a big hit because of Pokemon, so they kind of shelled it for a few years and let it ride.
Well, and here's the thing: is that if the Wii U is actually a pretty, you know, really hitting hard, right, and actually hits its stride between now and, you know, I mean, we've got Splatoon now. We're gonna have Mario Maker this fall. Everybody knows, I mean, it's just common knowledge that Star Fox is going to rock everybody's world, right? I know that, everybody? No? I feel alone on that one, but that's okay. But then we've got Zelda, you know, in like, probably next year, although they haven't even committed to that yet. But if they really do hit their stride with Wii U and continue to really knock it out of the park, as long as the Wii U is doing well, I think it's okay for them to delay the NX. But, If you know, there's a couple of good games and then there's nothing, like, other than Splatoon, what has Nintendo had all summer long? They haven't really had anything, right? And so having these huge gaps between releases is
everyone
still,
else's summer game was Yoshi, but we don't get that until October.
Right.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's kind of where I sit and sit on.
And you know, I said before I was expecting a 2016 release just because nothing's been going on. Now that, you know, after talking about this, I'd like to kind of change my stance a little bit. I think they were possibly preparing for a 2016 if nothing panned out. But you know, since Splatoon is being a big hit and hopefully Super Mario Maker will be just as big, then I agree they could let it ride for an extra year into 2017, where we originally thought it was going to be when they first mentioned it at that investor briefing.
Go ahead, Eugene.
I think it would only hurt them to bring it out early, though, right? Like, you know, you see the same kind of thing with the Wii U come out with very, not enough games, right?
Yeah.
And if they rush the next system.
Well, that's true. The Wii U should have come out a year earlier because the Wii was already half decaying before Wii U came out.
Yeah.
It was starting to stink.
They had the other side of the problem.
Yeah. Hey, what about Xenoblade X?
Oh, that's coming out this year too, huge? Isn't it? Are you excited for that game?
I'm hugely excited for that game. I understand that it's kind of niche, but I mean, that's the kind of game that it really appeals to me.
Very cool.
This is how niche it is. It's a game that I should like, but I'm not going to like it because I didn't like Chronicles. And I bought Chronicles twice. Yeah. And I tried playing it twice, and I couldn't get past 4 hours either way. Yeah. So I'm not even going to try this one. It's a niche market of a niche market.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Eugene, what about Xenoblade is it that really kind of interests you? What draws you to that series?
Well, I'm working my way through Chronicles still. Having played it and then, gotten sidetracked with other things and then come back to it.
Are you playing it on the 3DS or the...
I'm playing it on the Wii U on disc. I have the Wii version, okay, cool. So I'm playing that on Wii U.
Cool.
I don't know, just the characters are funny and it's not too hard in terms of trying to actively battle. Like, it's not based on skill per se, button pressing and in timing and things like that. There is some element of that, but it's not like Monster Hunter or anything.
I
love the environments, though. Mm-hmm. The environments are huge, even on the Wii game. Like, they're just massive. And then there's these massive monsters that are just roaming around, and you stand there and you're looking up, and it's like, 20 stories high. And so it's a unique kind of world. And I think the new game is going to be that in spades. So
cool. Yeah. I feel the hardest part for that game for me to get into it was the battle system, especially the sort of thing where it'll cue you to do something or to run over to somebody and to protect them, or you'd have to run around behind somebody and hit them in order to prevent like this huge lethal hit from taking you out. I never really got got a good grip on what it was asking me to do a lot of the time. And so I just kind of was like, oh, forget it, and just put it away. So,
yeah, I had the same issue, I think, at first too. And then it's probably why I didn't come back to it for a while, but I came back to it and I actually spent you kind of have to read those things that come up.
Yeah. That's the thing.
Actually go into the manual part of it and just try and sit and read and just understand exactly what it is. Mm-hmm. To do, and then you figure it out if you want to.
So you're just
you're a big Monster Hunter fan as well, is that correct?
Yeah, cool.
Yeah, for sure.
Right on. Awesome. So I think for the most part though, this all sounds like pretty. Going back to Splatoon, I'm excited for this one. My son and I, we always have, I've always let him choose, and we usually agree. I'm like, all right, right on, like we'll be team wieners, let's do it, right? That instead of team hot dogs, for totally innocent reasons. But this time he was like, come on. For some reason I was like team Autobots, I was just excited for him, but he's very adamant on team Decepticons
because he's right.
I know. See, that's the thing, is that I feel like in every Splatfest there is the one that the kids are going to go for and the one that the adults are going to go for, or the older fans, and the older fans are going to just destroy the kids, right? So like Team Marshmallows was way more popular because there was way more kids, but then you had the Team Hot Dogs ended up winning way more. And so I feel like Team Decepticons is going to be the one that's going to at least win more games.
As I said before, a third of the people won half the battles.
Yeah, exactly. So I feel like Team Decepticons is what we're going to end up doing. So I don't know. We'll see. But yeah, let's move on in the news, shall we? We've got a few more stories here. It's, one real quick, or Justin, we talked about this last week, but we should get your input on it. And there's been additional sort of complaining, I guess, online about Mario Maker having taking 9 days to unlock everything. How are you feeling about it?
Yeah, I actually don't think that's a huge issue. And I know that people got upset of like, I paid $60 for this game and everything should be available to me. And I was saying this before that, you know, you have to remember that Nintendo is about controlling your experience as much as possible and creating an environment that is conducive for you being successful. So if they believe that over 9 days is when they're going to release components of that palette so they do not overwhelm you, so that experience is easy for you, is enjoyable, and you continue to go back to it, then they will do it. And I have no problem with them saying, you know what, Justin, thank you for buying our game. It's awesome. You get, you know, 30% of it at launch. Come back tomorrow, play for 5 minutes. We'll give you some more. That's not an issue. I think that, you know, we questioned them in Splatoon and saying you have to be ranked 10 to be on or level 10 to be ranked. We questioned them on some of their methodologies for why they do it, but they always do it. They always do it for the user's experience to be as beneficial as possible. And I think, again, when you go back to a company that's target market is children, you got to remember Nintendo is a toy maker at its core essence. They want to make this easy for children, easy for that experience. So I'm fine with this. I know everyone else, the internet's going to be angry about it, but guess what? 9 days after it launches, so September 21st, no one's going to complain.
Yeah.
So yeah. Deal with it. Yeah. So I don't know.
I agree with Justin. The big argument I've heard is, oh, Nintendo's lazy because they're doing this. How so? The content's still on the disc.
Yeah, I don't think it's that's not a good argument at all.
Same with Splatoon when that launched. The content is still on the disc. They didn't have to unlock it. That's not laziness. That's, as he said, controlling the experience.
It's design.
If it was missing and then was free DLC later, that's lazy. Yes. But everything's on disc. That's not it.
Yeah, they're not patching in dailies is what there is. It's not that case. And I think to your point, the laziness of it, it's not lazy. It's actually more work. Right. They could have just said, like, here you go. Here's the $60. Here's all your stuff. Have a great day.
Do we know if we're going to be able to do – I asked this last week. Maybe we don't – we still don't know. But are we going to be able to pull, like, an Animal Crossing time travel thing where you're like, all right, I got my stuff for today, and then, like, jump back into the system settings and move it forward 24 hours and then unlock the next day right away?
I know that it was discussed on the most recent Nintendo Voice Chat podcast about it, but I can't remember whether it was answered. So okay. I guess that's going to be one we'll have to kind of dig out the next couple of weeks for sure.
It's possible if there's real-time Miiverse integration, you know, like if they're pulling in content from Miiverse on the fly, which they'd have to for like the 100 Mario Challenge, they could be using that clock instead of your system clock.
Yeah, that's true. Cool.
Now, Eugene, am I right? There was a press or is a conference or a Nintendo event in Toronto. Yeah. For those of you that do not know your geography of Canada, Lethbridge and Edmonton are a lot farther away than Toronto, so we were not able to attend. But now you attended, and did you get some hands-on time with Mario Maker, or were you able to
get remember? I didn't get any hands-on time with Mario Maker, but I did see people playing through it, and most people were playing through the levels that were shown at the Nintendo's championships.
Cool.
That final level, you know, the one that Cosmo got stuck on, and so.
Oh, that was so sad. Just watching him, I'm like, oh, come on, dude.
Yeah, no. Yeah, so I didn't really see too much like people making designs and stuff like that, but. It looked awesome. It still looked awesome. Like it looked just like it did in the championships. So, I think, you know, my thought to go back to it a bit. Do you guys remember Karate Kid?
Yes.
Of
you
course.
Know? Of course. So a great 80s movie.
This is the thing, right? Like you wax on, wax off, you know, you're painting the fence, you're doing these things that feel like, well, when do I get to the good part? Like, when do I get to the fighting? I want to do the fighting, right? But you have to do these steps before you can get to the complete understanding of what it is that you have to do. And so it's very Japanese. And I think Nintendo is just demonstrating this is how we are designing our product so that you go through these stages and, you know, maybe you might feel like it's babyish or something.
It's like Mr. Miyagi. You got just like Mr. Hang in Miyagi. There
because
like.
There's a reward at the end that you won't get until you do this.
Mm-hmm. I love it. I'm just like when I'm sitting there on like launch night and I'm like, I just want more pieces. Then I'll just be like, yeah. I'll just like imagine Mr. Miyagi and I'll be like, oh, just relax.
Wax on, okay. Wax on. That's right. So Eugene, are you excited to pick up Mario Maker? And I think especially, you know, you've got kids who are kind of teenage years. Are you stoked for this with them?
Oh yeah. 10 and 12. My kids are.
Yeah.
It's pre-ordered already. So as soon as they saw it in the direct, my youngest actually said, we have to get this. and she doesn't really, it's funny because she's not the one that really likes to play Mario. She finds it hard. And I don't blame her because I'm not that good at it myself, but she just wants to make levels.
Mm.
Is she into like Minecraft or anything
try
like
to
that?
Do them. So it's a torture device for her to torture her dad.
Sure.
Oh, that's
basically.
Awesome.
But yeah, no, it'll be fun. I think it'll be lots of fun.
Dad's going to come home from work and she's going to be like, here's my level, Dad. Have fun.
Ha ha ha. Yeah. Do you think this is the last platforming Mario game that Nintendo will ever make? This was my thought this afternoon that I had. I'm like, they've taken all the people's complaints about how they always come out with a Mario game every year. It's always the same, blah, blah, blah. So now here you go. You make your own, and then we never have to make another one again, and that's it. It's a platform for you.
What I'm hoping is this is the last Mario game for Wii U, and when NX comes out, they'll have Galaxy 3 or some other Sunshine-esque, 64-esque 3D Mario game.
I mean 2D side-scrolling.
Yeah, I think from a 2D platformer perspective, Eugene, I think you're 100% right, which is kind of crazy for an organization to do that.
Well,
right? You have just handed over the keys to your most successful IP to your fans to create whatever they want, which kind of undercuts you taking something, or offering them something from a financial perspective. However, what I would say is that I think it's also the most brilliant play for them to make, right? Because now, you know, you will have user generated content curated by your fan or created by your fans plus, you know, other game creators. And that just continues to highlight your products and your IP. I think from a 2D perspective, we're done. But I think from the longevity of Mario, I think it forces the company to Jesse's point now to create like the next 3D Mario, right? Cause now you can't go back to the platformer before. Cause you know, I could just make that level myself. Why pay $60?
Yeah. I think my opinion is similar to you guys. Although I think, we are definitely, you know, like when the NX comes out, it's not like they're just this same game is they're just going to keep relying on it. I think what we're going to see is the new Super Mario Brothers franchise is going to be replaced by the Super Mario Maker franchise. I was thinking a while ago, I was like, I would love to be able to make Mario levels on my 3DS. You know, like I recently have. I'm going to be taking the bus a lot and I would love to sit on the bus and make a Mario level. And the fact that it's only on the Wii U.
Offline mobile editor that you can then upload later when you're on.
Yeah. You can just save them and you can upload them later and all that.
That's awesome.
Kind of thing, right. Like I would love that. And I feel like that moving forward, they're not going to make another new Super Mario Brothers game, but they may make a Super Mario Maker 2 where maybe they add a new skin to it. They add new pieces, all those sorts of things. And that it becomes like this. If you think that Super Mario Maker is amazing, wait till you see the sequel on NX and it's got more pieces and more palettes and, you know, and all that kind of stuff. So,
or, amazingly enough, maybe it's not a sequel, but rather a download patch.
Right. So again, though, I still think that it's going to end up being, they're not going to release Super Mario Maker for the NX. It will be like a sequel. Maybe it will be a port, but it will, you know, but it's not like they're going to just rely on the Wii U version forever. They're going to, you know, people keep saying, oh, well, this is the last 2D Mario game we're ever going to need. Well, no, because this is the first iteration of this creation tool, and they can continue to build on that and to make it better and better and give more pieces and more palettes. And maybe even create entirely new power-ups that they can throw in there and all that kind of stuff. So,
yeah, as a comparison, kind of Disney Infinity, kind of we promised we only need the one game, and then it'll be add-on DLC with it, with additional things you can buy physically later. But no, we still have an annual release that you have to pay another $60.
Exactly. Yeah. Where, and I think a lot of those worlds that you created in Disney Infinity 1.0, you could transfer to Disney Infinity 2.0. Like they were still all compatible, backwards compatible with all those different versions, but the newest version's got all the cool new stuff in it. So.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Eugene, you were saying that, you know, your daughter will be very excited to kind of build this level for you. Are they really into Minecraft as well?
Funnily enough, they are not.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, and I think it's partially because all their friends at school are, and it's mostly the boys.
Okay.
And so a lot of them just are like, they're just turned off from Minecraft. They're like, I don't want to play that game because everyone else is talking about it nonstop. So, but cool. Yeah. I think maybe it's an alternative for them. Perhaps.
My son's the other way around. He came home today and said, no one else has the Black Ops 3 beta. I'm the only one that I know. I want someone to talk about with.
Yeah. Well, they felt like that when we had Splatoon on demo. They're like, I can't talk to anybody. Are we under NDA? What does that mean? NDA. I can't talk to anyone.
The Nintendo Black helicopters.
Can I tell people that we have it, or is it, am I not allowed to? You know, they were like, they were confused. So
that's super funny.
Nintendo causing, school headaches since 2015.
Nice. Just the black helicopters overhead. Cool.
Yeah.
Right on. Well, we got a couple more pieces here. Just a couple of quick announcements. First of all, we have Pit Cross 3D 2 that was announced for Japan. And I don't think I have seen Twitter explode with excitement over this announcement more than in a very long time. And I feel like Justin immediately was like, meh, we don't care. And I am beyond. Have you ever played Pit Cross 3D, Justin?
You know, I played about 4 minutes of it and I was like, I'm out.
Oh my gosh, dude.
That game doesn't get good until you get to the 10 by 10 by 10s.
Yeah. Oh, well, that's the thing, is that if all you did was play like the one block thick puzzles, then no wonder you didn't like it.
Done.
You know, it may have been a little bit of trolling. Who knows?
Yeah.
You know,
it sounds like something I might have done. It smelled like troll. Yeah, it did. Eugene, did you play the Pit Cross 3D on the DS?
No, I didn't play that.
Okay. This.
Yeah. I am on record stating that game is the best DS game in the entire library.
Yeah. I tend to agree, actually. Barring all other games, like it is one of, for sure, like definitely in the top three for me, top DS games. So
just so everyone else knows, when Justin wrote the show notes, he writes, Pit Cross 2 3D, does anyone care? I read that, I'm thinking, hell yeah!
Yeah, so
it's announced in Japan. Is it coming to North America?
I'm almost positive that it will, especially since, how much is 3,000 yen in dollars? What is that?
It's like 30.
Almost 30.
30? Yeah. Okay. So we're looking at like a cheap retail release, like a cheaper.
Yeah, and I think it was like a $20 or $25 cart in the first place.
Yeah. So similar to the DS
game was new,
you know, where there's like the $30 games and the $40 games for 3DS. This will be a $30 one. Okay. Cool. So, it's not announced for North America yet, but neither is Rhythm Heaven, the new Rhythm Heaven game. So we're waiting for both of those. I'm excited for both of those now, and they're not announced yet. I don't know what Nintendo's. I feel like Nintendo, this moves right into the next one. But Yo-Kai Watch was also announced for November 6th. I feel like Nintendo has like almost entirely, left the holiday season open for Yo-Kai Watch. Like they really, really want this to succeed on the 3DS. And so they're intentionally holding back some other games for maybe the first part of next year.
I think it's part of that, and part they forgot how to make announcements without Nintendo Directs.
Yeah, it seems like Nintendo in general has been, like, since Iwata's passing, Nintendo has been kind of crazy quiet, right? Like, in general, they haven't been saying a whole lot. Not to say that they're not capable of doing it, but it's just been weird, right? They have been quiet. So anyway, so Pit Cross 3D 2 and Yo-Kai Watch coming soon, everybody.
Now, did Eugene? Did any of your kids ever kind of get into the big the Pokemon rush or anything like that? No.
No, not really. They kind of missed it.
Did they? Okay. I was wondering if
too old. You know. Okay. Now they're too old, and before they were too young. So.
Some of the stuff in Yo-Kai Watch is some of the stuff in Yo-Kai Watch is looking pretty weird. There's some footage from the Treehouse Live with like this guy in a bathhouse and you have to fight his belly button or something. I can't remember. It was weird. You know, like in anime where like the belly button like pops out or something with like the anyway. Is weird.
This game is very Japanese.
It's super Japanese to the point where it's like borderline inappropriate over here, which is hilarious. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
That kind of makes me want to try it, but I was but
no, and
this game, I was initially planning on passing on this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure. So we'll see how that goes. Yeah, that's coming soon too. So let's jump into what we've been playing, shall we?
Let's do it.
All right. Eugene, we usually have our guests go first for what they've been playing this week. So sure. Take it away.
Sure. I recently just got an iPad, so I've been playing a lot of iOS games.
Cool.
So sorry, I know this is Nintendo Dads, but
that's all right.
I haven't had a lot of time.
In the last month, I think I mentioned a Nintendo game twice.
Yeah, okay. That's
quite fine.
Yeah, and I played, well, a game that is available on Nintendo systems, Puzzle and Dragons. So I've been playing that. I'm just starting that. And I got into it through a friend who is really into it. And I spent basically the better part of a day and a half just playing the tutorial over and over again because I had to get the right starter egg from the random drop that comes at the end of the tutorial. And if I didn't get one of the things that was on this list online, then I had to stop, delete, reinstall. Oh,
wow. So you had to like redo everything.
Yeah.
So do they just like give you crappy starters or like?
No, it's random. So.
Oh, okay.
At certain times they have certain festivals which increase the percentage of better ones. But I'm not playing at that time right now. That's not happening right now. But she was very nice. She was trying to roll one for me too. So she was started another account and she was trying to get one for me. But I eventually got one. And so I'm like, yes.
You've got like a team on it.
Yeah, I got some god, I forget who. Oh, Osiris I got.
Okay, cool.
If you know your mythological gods. So I've been playing Puzzle and Dragons. I can see where the draw could come, especially if it was all Nintendo characters in there. Mm-hmm. It would be pretty cool. The artwork is pretty nice, so I think it's kind of neat that way. But you know, it's like it's got that collectible, you know, random loot drop thing going on, so and leveling up things. So
very cool.
It's a little bit more than your usual match three. So.
Yeah, I played that on iOS before, and I played the demo for 3DS, and I'm just kind of like, I don't know, it feels like it was either like super easy, but as soon as it got even a little bit difficult, I was like, oh man, this is a lot harder than I expected. So
yeah, it does get hard, and I think that's probably why they recommend you to get one of those starters, because if you get something else and you go with it, you're going to get stuck.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So
very cool.
Yeah, anyway.
Right on. Justin, what have you been playing this week?
You know what? It has been more Splatoon. Not a huge shock. I mentioned that with the Rainmaker. My kids are still absolutely loving it. I was mentioning before that my daughters really enjoy playing Turf Battle or Turf War, which I feel, you know, when I'm jumping online and playing, that feels like the best spot for them to be at. Because obviously in ranked, if you lose, your whole team kind of loses. I mean, you know, and you actually can go down in your rank. So I could put the kids in turf war and they do really well for themselves. My daughter Morgan she's kind of getting more and more use, and I don't take off the motion controls at all for it. She has gotten to a point where now she plays almost so much that Splatoon, the camera angle is almost an overhead view.
Really?
It's such a weird kind of, methodology, but she has really good success with it. Like I give her the roller because she likes that one, and she kind of just the way she's twisting and pulling things, she kind of gets this overhead, and then she's able to make her way through, and it's really entertaining to watch. Whereas my other daughter, Rylan, she kind of does it very much the traditional way that, you know, that probably the rest of us play, where it's the camera's a little bit behind, that third person perspective a little bit of, and she has success there, but it's such an interesting difference in the play style. And I was
That's really weird. That's cool.
You know, when we learned how to play video games as kids, you know, like, I don't know about you guys, but like, I just grabbed the NES controller and figured it out. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
There was A, B, the directional pads, and that's it. Right. But I'm thinking like my 5-year-old is trying to figure out how to use motion, you know, geo or whatever the thing's going on there. Plus all these shoulder
accelerometrons
buttons.
And
yeah. Plus 4 buttons and 2, you know, analog sticks and looks down at a screen.
Yeah.
And I was like, how are, you know, I'm shocked that she doesn't get more angry, but I mentioned before she's like an angry little gamer. So if it doesn't work out or if she gets killed, she's like, oh, come on. And I was like, I don't really know where she gets any of that from because I don't do that as a gamer and her mother doesn't do that as a gamer. But I don't know. I've got a little angry gamer on my hands and I don't really know. Do you guys, Eugene, are your kids angry at all when they game or how do you deal with that? Or do you?
I'm surprised that they aren't more angry because I get pretty angry sometimes. So I find they are more calm usually, although my younger one tends to be a little bit more of a spitfire. So, but what happens is she gets frustrated and then she stops playing. Okay. So I try to like just talk her through, you know, how she's feeling and just, you know, do you need to take a break? Just take a deep breath, relax for a bit. You know, if you don't want to play anymore, that's cool. Or
no,
you know, try again, you know, whatever it is. My older one, she's calm. She's like, oh, well, I lost. That's okay. Let's do it again. And again, right. And again, she just wants to get back into it. She doesn't really care too much. So it doesn't affect like her. And what you're talking about, the camera angle too. Yeah, for sure. Like I spent a lot of time telling my older daughter because she plays more, like, keep your camera up. You got to be shooting up. Cause if you're just shooting on the ground, like, you know, you're not, and you can't see anything. So I'm telling her all this stuff. And then of course now she's higher in rank than I am in the rank battles. So I'm like, you know what? I can't tell you anything anymore. You tell me how to play.
Because
I'm like,
awesome.
Obviously, you're whatever you're doing is working. So, you know.
Yeah.
That's super
but
fun.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah. Yeah, just I think as long as she's not, like, getting up and punching her little sister after losing, I think you're probably okay.
Well, she is the little sister.
Oh, she's the little sister.
She well, is the little
does
sister.
Does she get up and punch her big sister?
No, she doesn't, but she just kind of grabs the pad, she's like, come on.
Is she throwing the controller yet?
And like, no, she's not there yet. But I'm like, I feel like we're like, I'm like, do you want to sit in my lap and we can do this together?
Can we put like the Wii remote strap on the gamepad?
I was going to say the same thing.
And the funny part is out of the two children, she is the more subdued, quiet, relaxed. Like
it's
the
all
one
under
that,
the surface, man.
It's those quiet ones. You gotta watch out for those.
Yeah, it brings something out of her that I'm really quite concerned about. Like
that's so funny.
I'm not gonna play Smash Brothers with her. It's not gonna happen.
Oh, that's awesome. No, she seems like the one who'd be the most fun to play. See, when my anyways, that's funny.
I may have to start filming some videos and putting them up there, like angry Splatoon player.
Yeah, there you go. Nice, Jesse. What have you been playing this week?
All right. As you probably might have guessed, I'm still playing through Picross E6.
Nice.
eShop game that was released almost 2 weeks ago or sometime last week. I forget when.
I think it was a week or two ago, yeah.
It was I think it released the day after we recorded 2 weeks ago. So I'm almost done with it. I thought I might be done with it by the time we recorded, but I still have I think 3 pages of puzzles left in the last mode, which is 12 puzzles per page, I think. So I'm almost done. The other thing I wanted to talk about, while yes, it's not Nintendo, but it's also not video games, but it is gaming.
Dear.
We're listening.
Okay, I went out to a casino and played a poker tournament for the first time in a long time. You know, I've, I've been playing poker in the bars for free for a while, and I started getting invited to some home games. So one home game I won and won a $200 prize. And the deal was, if you win the $200, you have to go to this tournament in the casino. And then if you win money there, then you kick back 20% of what you won back into the group that to be shared amongst those top players. So I ended up winning the Heartland Poker Tour is in town, starting Friday until next Monday. So I participated in a $200 satellite event, which means the top winners of that gets very similar to what happened in the home game. They get prize money, which has to go into the next level. So the prize for the $200 game was be $1,600 to, as an entry fee into their main event, which is a 3-day tournament where the third day is actually going to be televised. So the top four people would have won that out of the 41 people participating in this game. And unfortunately, I only got to about 22nd place. So I got about halfway through. But it was a different environment playing in a casino versus just the bar. And I'm probably going to want to try to do more of that.
Sweet, dude. You know,
I was really hoping you're going to tell us that this episode is sponsored by, Jesse and his winning at gambling. That's what I was really hoping for.
So was I, but no. Not,
nice.
Not yet. So,
well, that sounds like fun, dude.
So that's been my gaming for, across some poker.
Very cool. Awesome. So I am in this weird sort of place right now where I don't have a job and I'm waiting for school to start. I'm going back to school again. And so I'm in this weird sort of limbo where I can just play games and do all sorts of weird stuff. So the first game I've been playing, I was in Walmart just buying groceries or whatever, like the late night Walmart run to go and buy milk so that the kids have cereal in the morning, that sort of deal. And I'm like, oh, I'll just walk by the game section here. And they had, for $25, they had the most recent Theater Rhythm game that I hadn't played yet. Theater Rhythm Final Fantasy Curtain Call. And I was like, $25? That's a good deal. And I think it's still a good deal. I don't know. But
I think it was $45 new.
Yeah, so it was.
I bought the premium set that had physical extras, so I think I paid like $70 for it.
Yeah, and been playing that game, and that game is a lot of fun. I even downloaded a few of the DLC songs on there. I downloaded a couple from The World Ends With You and from Final Fantasy Adventure, which leads me. So for those of you who don't know what Theater Rhythm Final Fantasy is, it's like a rhythm game. Where you can either use the stylus or the buttons to play the rhythm game, and you play through songs from the history of Final Fantasy. So
my son's been starting to play that game. He's been playing it for about 2 or 3 weeks now, and he's gotten to use the button controls.
Mm-hmm.
I've always used stylus controls.
It depends because on
in the original game, the stylus controls, I think, were all you had.
Oh, really? Yeah. So basically what I have started doing is, depending on the song type, they're like the, I think they call them like the field songs. Is that what they call those? The ones where, so the field songs, I tend to use the stylus still, but for the battle songs where it's more of just like tap, flick, and there's not a lot of, dragging up and down and that sort of thing, that is a lot easier to use the buttons for. So, I've kind of mix and match and do whatever. I haven't played it a ton, but, they had some DLC music for Final Fantasy Adventure, which was the very first real RPG type game that I ever played on the Game Boy, which triggered me into wanting to play that again. And I, also at the same time was like, oh, I'm going to see if I can stream this. So I've been streaming that online. You can go over to our YouTube channel and I have the first couple of parts there on our YouTube channel that I, just playing through that game. For those of you who don't know what it is, Final Fantasy Adventure was a game on the Game Boy, kind of like Link's Awakening, but had some RPG elements as well. There's a leveling up and like sort of stats mechanic and all that kind of thing.
Is this the game that in Japan was actually part of the Mana series?
It was remade on the Game Boy Advance, it was actually called Sword of Mana. So that's what it was called eventually. And it's pretty generic, but also the music in it is super great. I've really been liking that. And then I also, you know, have been streaming a little bit on our Twitch channel as well. That mildly racist game, that I was talking about before, Mr. Chin's Gourmet Paradise. I played a little bit of that. It's like this weird sort of arcade, platformer type game, that was super fun that I played on the Game Boy. It's not really good, but it's kind of good, and I had a lot of fond memories of it and lots of nostalgia, so I streamed a little bit of that. So I'll probably be doing a little bit more of that as time goes on. But yeah, that's basically what I've been playing this week. So let's move into our question of the week, shall we? Let's do it. Get our music. There we go. All right, Justin, what is our question of the week this week?
All right, guys, thanks for joining into the question of the week. We appreciate that. All right, our question of the week, following the theme of Transformers and franchises, the question of the week is, what was your favorite video game based on a cartoon or franchise? What was your favorite video game based on a cartoon or franchise? Zachary, go ahead.
I'm going to say, going again from my old Game Boy days, favorite video game based on a cartoon. Okay, so on the Game Boy, there was a game called Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Fall of the Foot Clan, which was super fun, and it was just kind of a beat-em-up brawler sort of game on the Game Boy, and I played the crap out of that when I was a kid, so that's going to be my pick.
I think I remember that game. Is that the one where you had to play the game where you had to take away tokens with against Splinter?
Yeah, dude. Absolutely.
I remember that.
Yeah.
Took me forever to figure out how to win.
Yeah, there's basically five levels, and so like I had this thing where all four of the characters were pretty much exactly the same. They just had a different weapon. But I was like, no, dude, you've got to have like Michelangelo on the first level, and would go through the whole thing that way, and like had a very specific order that I would always go through it in. But Eugene, how about you?
Well, I'm gonna go back to 1992 and the arcades, X-Men, the arcade game.
Oh,
four-player X-Men game.
Nice.
Revenge of the Arcade or something like that.
Yeah, cool. lots of quarters wasted. Yeah, and of course Wolverine is the best. So
nice.
Leave it at that.
Right on, Jesse.
Okay, based on how I want to interpret the question, I have two different answers. A game based on a cartoon, which means my answer will not be a cartoon based on something else. It'll just be what the cartoon was at first. So, thinking that way, it's kind of a toss-up between DuckTales and Chippendales Rescue Rangers.
Nice. Oh, dang it. That reminds me of my runner-up. But sorry, you keep going. I don't want to cut you off.
Okay. Now, if you're thinking of terms of, while the game may not be directly related to a cartoon, but the series was a cartoon at one time, I'd have to say Arkham Knight, because that's just the best Batman game out there.
Very cool. Nice.
Kind of the cheating answer, I think.
Cool. I'm also going to throw in there, for the Sega Genesis, Aladdin. I don't know if you guys ever played that.
Mm-hmm.
I played the Super Nintendo version, which my understanding is the Genesis one was actually the better one.
Yeah, it was dang good, dude. I played the crap out of that one.
At least it had a better sound chip.
Yeah, it was just good. Yeah, the sound. I do remember the sound specifically. In that game, but Aladdin. What about you, Justin?
Yeah, you know what? I cannot tell you how many nights I stayed up either eating pizza or drinking Orange Crush, playing Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2, the arcade game, on the NES. I think we rented it so many times, it probably would have been cheaper just to buy it at that point. But you could get through the game in probably like 2 or 3 hours, and there was a 2-player version, but you could also play like 4 players, and it was epic. And it was
did you have the 4-player accessory?
No, I had a friend who did, so they had to like come over and attach that stuff together. But it was like, and I always remember like, no, you know, I'm Donatello, and you'd always tell people like, okay, you take the top part and I take the bottom half, and you know, like it was, yeah, it was just epic. I also really enjoyed Flintstones. Check that one out on the NES. Flintstones.
Nice.
I don't think I've ever played that one.
Right on. Yeah. Well, hey, we've got a brand new segment coming up next, and it's a little thing we're going to call the podcast highlight.
Well, are we?
Maybe.
That's not what the notes say.
Hang on. That died. Is that not? Yeah. Isn't it? Oh, the podcast spotlight. Sorry, I wrote it wrong on my soundboard. Podcast spotlight.
Do we have a sound clip for that?
It's quiet. We're going to turn that up next time. Right on. So podcast spotlight is a new segment on the show. Basically what we're going to do, you know, I think that one of the great things about the podcasting community that is different from a lot of other different mediums, I guess, is I feel like there's not a lot, like, yes, there are lots of other people who are vying for your ears and stuff, but I really feel like it's this great big community, and it's kind of the aim of this segment is to let the audience know of other great podcasts out there that they can tune into, and you know, hopefully spread the word, and you know, if that word gets back to podcasts that we've highlighted and they love what we're doing, then maybe we can collaborate and do some great things together. But we're just really reaching out to as many podcasts out there as possible. So, Eugene, I heard you know about a pretty decent video game parenting related podcast, right?
I know of one. Yeah.
Why don't you tell us about your show?
Sure. Well, we started the Magic Hour show earlier this year, and it was sort of a project for me and some friends that I met on Twitter, basically, other parents. And, you know, my concept for the show really is it's a show that explores parenting issues through the lens of video games and, you know, how do parents deal with things like screen time? How do we deal with things like you were talking about, Justin, like when my kid gets angry and we play, you know, playing games, what kinds of things do we do? We talked about things that affect us as parents of daughters. We talked about, you know, we had a topic one time which we talked about, you know, female playable characters and how is that important? Why is that important? Things like that. Game ratings, you know, things of that nature. And of course we love to talk about Nintendo. I think, you know, Nintendo is close to our hearts as parents, as we all know, everyone listening here probably knows as well. Just that, you know, they always provide, sort of a safe and, you know, a good gaming environment for our kids. So, you know, it gets the label, right? It's the kids' console. Well, you know what? It actually is the kids' console, and we you know, we take that proudly. So, mm-hmm. Those are things we've been exploring. We're at our 21st episode now. So, come out every Wednesday. We record Tuesday nights, and check it out. I'm very happy and glad that you guys had me on the show today. So,
yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I like I kind of said pre-show, I just. You know, Justin said, hey, I'm going to be on the show and we're going to have Eugene on. And I was like, oh, hey, I've never heard of this show before, and went back and listened to a few of your episodes. And yeah, it's great. We've caught some grief for we call ourselves the Nintendo dads. And like one of our reviews on iTunes is like, yeah, I really could use some more dad content though. And I'm like, yeah, that's fair, right? Like, and I think
it's hard
to
find that balance because we all just want to talk about video games.
Yeah, it's like, right? I worry about my kids all day. I come here to escape, right? But at the same time, no, I think you guys really address those topics great. You know, really, really great panel, and you know, pretty laid back and mellow, and just kind of a good sort of chill out sort of podcast. I really like it a lot. So,
yeah, and I think you know, one of the things that really and maybe Eugene, you know, the term the magic hour. Can you talk to us about kind of that naming convention and that? Because I think that's a tremendous kind of nod to parenting.
Yeah, well, it came from a jazz album of the same name by Wynton Marsalis, and he talked about the magic hour as being that time, you know, in the evening after the kids have gone to bed and the parents have just that time to, you know, enjoy a glass of wine, have some conversation, listen to some music, you know, and that's the magic hour.
Nice.
And so for us as parents, you know, that magic hour, as gaming parents, it's the time where I can maybe play something, you know, in the time that I have during the day from coming from work or whatever, looking after the kids, after they're gone to bed, you know, especially when they were little, after, and they went to bed a little earlier, you know, we had more time. Now they're older, you know, I have to find my time in other places. So we have to find our magic hour whenever it is. But
yeah,
that's the reason behind the name.
Very cool.
Yeah, I think it's fantastic. And I would strongly advise for people, you know, if you're you know, first and foremost, go over to iTunes, subscribe to this show, to the Magic Hour. It is absolutely fantastic. Eugene and the panel does such a great job, I think, tackling some more of those parenting issues that sometimes we don't tackle necessarily here, but we kind of skim the surface on. But I think it's such a really awesome show. But I would highly suggest, when you get a moment, I mentioned this to Eugene last night and his team, listening to the episode shortly after Satira Wada's passing. And it's very rare that I get choked up during a podcast, but I'm gonna lie to you. I was holding back some wet things that were coming out of my eyeball. I think I had a leak in it, because it was just so well done and so genuine, and the sound was just fantastic. So, kudos to you and your team, and it's just wonderful podcast. So again, guys, I'd highly recommend you add this to your queue.
Right
to
on.
To steal a term from another kid's show, Liquid Pride.
Yeah, Liquid Pride. There you go.
Nice. Right on. With that, I think I can hear the postman approaching in the distance. All right. Justin, we have I'm looking at a lot of emails here. Why don't you pick up our
so the first one actually from you always give me the ones that's like foreign, like, come on, Leaf Own Vajortov.
I don't know,
guys, like, come on.
We appreciate that you listen and that you and that you are patient with our
and actually
There you go.
We're just gonna call Eugene every time we have a very difficult name to translate and be like, hey, Herod, we're talking about Eugene, can you come in and do that for us?
I need a few things for my soundboard for later in the show. You just read these names.
I always end up in the stinger. But I would say with actually this comment from Leaf is
that it's unlike one of those interactive voice response systems where you have a blah 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 blah, pause, something pre recorded. And then it goes.
He sent this actually in middle of July, and it slipped through our email, so I wanted to make sure we pulled this out. So I apologize for the late delay on this one. This one definitely was about 3 to 4 weeks late. Hey guys, great show. I listen to your podcast every week, so thank you very much first and foremost for that. Even the After Darks, though I should be catching up on my Marvel movies first. Yeah, we're kind of a bit spoilerish that way. I've got a quick speculation/weird idea regarding the NX I had while listening to your last show. What if the NX is just a big software update to the Wii U and 3DS that makes the two-in-one cross-platform, where the NX/Wii U games can be played on the go through streaming and vice versa, either locally or through the cloud? What I base this on is the NX is rumored to be a cross-platform between home console and portable. The NX is rumored to be on the Wii U level performance-wise to keep production costs down. NX says the Wii U and 3DS is not dead in the water after the NX's release. As Nintendo says. I don't really think this is the case, but I found the thought entertaining and thought I should share it. Keep up the great work. P.S. How are you guys doing on the Dark Pit Amiibo? found and bought one the other day, but don't really need it. So I guess apparently if we needed a Dark Pit amiibo, we could have reached out for this one. So again, my bad. And it was me who won the E3 predictions earlier and got SteamWorld Dig as the prize. Cool game. Play it all the time. Thank you very much.
Right on. So what do you think about this idea that we've kind of talked about my speculation for the NX that kind of is similar to this. But Eugene, what do you think about this prediction that it could just be a big software update?
Well, if it was this, I think I would be very disappointed.
Yeah, I think so too.
I mean, that's it.
Surprise! Really?
That's what you're going to do? But I mean, it's an interesting idea. I think they could definitely implement this before and not call it the NX, but just do this. I think it would be kind of neat. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure, you know, if given the technology that's in it, in all the devices right now, you could probably do this. Mm-hmm. So, I think the NX is something like this, but I don't think that it's just going to be an update to the Wii U.
Yeah, I think the biggest concern that I can see with this in particular is it's not really the big reason that the video game manufacturers continually release new hardware is because, especially with Nintendo, is because hardware sales are slowing, right? Like, that's why we get the new 3DS and, you know, all of those sorts of things. And then there's a new model and there's all those different things. Because hardware sales will slow. And so simply issuing a software update is not going to convince people to go buy more hardware. Having said that, I have heard some speculation, and I kind of think that maybe it's sort of on the right track, is the possibility that the NX could be, while it could be separate, you know, we've heard these rumors of a hybrid system or whatever, where the NX is more or less a 3DS successor that also is very integrated with the Wii U. And then you can almost see at that point where the Wii U, almost plays a similar, not exactly, but a similar sort of role as like an Apple TV and an iPad, and that relationship between the two, moving forwards. And so the Wii U could definitely stream games from this 3DS successor, which we could just call the NX, and you could stream those games to the Wii U through a new app, and then vice versa could happen, and maybe release a new home console type machine alongside it as well. I don't know. At the same time, I think it's probably better to just release it all, you know, a whole new package at once. But I don't know. I think it's interesting. I think it would be, I guess the long and short of it is that, if the NX is compatible with the Wii U or the 3DS, that is where people are a little bit unsure at this point, if it does indeed become a hybrid system. Is it going to be compatible with the older systems? So, I don't know. What do you guys think? Any other thoughts on that?
I know we've talked before that it's theoretically possible to have, you know, because the Wii U is supposed to be able to support two gamepads. But right now, nothing exists that does.
Mm-hmm.
So it can. So why can't it stream to a gamepad and the 3DS? Especially since the 3DS has a quarter of the resolution as a gamepad. It's basically right. 240p instead of 480p. So that could be a possibility still. But as for actually a software update making the two.
I don't think the 3DS is identical at all.
I don't think so, because the processors are different.
Yeah. The architecture is totally different, right?
Power PC versus ARM.
So you'd have to emulate, especially on the 3DS.
As soon as you're talking emulation, you just lost everything.
Yeah. So
you need to have a beefy machine to be able to emulate anything.
Yeah.
So
cool.
Interesting thoughts though, but yeah, I don't think that's going to happen that way.
Yeah. Again, I think it's kind of the spirit of it is kind of on the right track, though. It feels like the functionality post-release is close, right? So anyway,
yeah. You know, it's funny because we've done a lot of talk about NX, and we will continue to speculate and talk about NX in the future as well. I remember a couple episodes ago, I talked about the idea of maybe, you know, being like a Chromecast dongle that essentially you put in the back of your television. You have access to like a cloud. You can grab stuff that way. Kind of almost a little bit of this idea that there's this kind of also this patch, that, you know, and I got thinking about that more and more. Here's what we actually do know about the NX. So we probably, that it has, there has to be a physical device to it. And here's why there has to be a physical device to it. Because Nintendo has gone bank in Amiibo, and you need an NFC reader somewhere.
Right.
So it has to be physical.
Mm-hmm.
Right. It can't just be a dongle on the back of a telly. It's going to have to be like a actual either platform. You know, this wonderful device I've got right in front of me, my 3DS, that has an NFC reader. The Wii U has an NFC reader. So, you know, whether it's a patch or not. But I wonder if there will just be so much more functionality between these two devices into the NX, right? Like they're going to, you know, hey, if you've already got a Wii U or a 3DS, you can buy the NX Lite.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a dongle. Or you get the Pro version where it's the, you know, it's the actual system that has an NFC reader somewhere in it.
Right.
Or
even just that, you know, like the, that there's an app on your Wii U, an NX app on your Wii U for that kind of thing. If you don't want to have, you know, if you, again, like from what you're saying, that the NX would actually be a handheld and then you would have the dongle for the TV to stream to the TV. So maybe there's something, I'm even imagining like something like the sort of a hybrid between like the Apple TV and a Skylanders portal that scans your Amiibo and also, also streams too. I don't know. Lots of potential speculation there, but
one thing I forgot to talk about, backing up quite a bit actually, when we Picross 3D 2 has Amiibo support.
What? They haven't said anything else about that though.
You just said
two of my favorite words in the same sentence, sir.
And the show goes downhill from here, folks.
That's cool. I approve of that. Cool. Next one here, we just have a quick message from Brett Babin on Twitter. Now the stock is getting better with Amiibo. What does Nintendo have to do to keep hype alive? I would argue with that first statement, first of all. We don't know for sure. They're getting better at delivering stock, at making
I think he means we're starting to see more Gen 1s. In inventory.
Are we though?
Maybe Gen 2s.
You know what? They said that they were going to do that, and I thought that what they meant by that was you'll be able to get them, not, oh, don't worry, we're going to send – because my experience in being an Amiibo collector, my experience – fair.
Very fine line.
Come on, man.
That thing.
A connoisseur? I don't know. My experience has been that when Nintendo said, oh, we're going to be releasing more Marth figures, for example, what they actually did was they sent another box of four to each location. They're still gone the day that they were.
Instead of 12.
And the only difference being that this box of four Marth Amiibo did not have a release date. It just showed up when it showed up, and there was absolutely no way to know when it was going to be there. And so you're even less likely to get one. So I don't know. That's super, super dumb. So anyway.
Eugene, are you an Amiibo guy?
I have some Amiibo. I did not collect the entire set. I have probably 10 Amiibos. Yeah. I just got the ones I wanted. And then
yeah, me too.
You got more than me.
I stopped after I couldn't get, I was trying to get all the Fire Emblem ones. This is my problem. And I got the first two, but then I couldn't get Lucina and Robin.
Okay.
And then I'm like, okay, I'm out.
Forget See, it. I got the...
But I'm probably going to go back in once the Animal Crossing ones come out.
Oh.
Yeah. You big Animal Crossing fan, are you?
Yeah, the kids are.
Are you excited for the new one?
Those cards, I think that's how they're going to keep hype alive, is those blind packs of cards.
Yeah.
400.
Yes, in the first... round or something, right?
Well, I think it's 100 per round, 4 rounds.
100 per round, oh, okay.
For 400 total.
Oh, it's only 400.
That's only
that's easy.
Well, the first set is only like 100 and something, I think. So, you know, they'll ease you in some.
Yeah, yeah. That's gonna be. You know what? I'm just gonna buy a few packs and then.
Yeah, that they call a day, right?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah,
I think Brett, the answer actually, I think to your question is a little bit actually in Eugene's response, which is they're going to change what it is. So we've gone from statues now to cards to whatever the next thing is.
The Yarn Yoshi ones.
To Yarn Yoshis, right? So basically plushies, right? They're going to continue to change not the functionality, but the imagery behind it, right? Whether it's a card or a plushie or a statue.
The medium.
The medium is going to change. That's how it's going to keep alive, right? There's rumor that Star Fox is going to be vehicles. Right,
like
those are the variants that they're going to be making, and I think, you know, they're just going to continue to make bank with it.
If they actually make that R-Wing amiibo that turns into the Chicken Walker like Transformers style, I'm all over that business, man. That'd be so rad. That'd be so cool.
I don't know. I'm starting to roll out of the amiibo craze, man.
No, you're not.
I just say that to myself, really, to make myself feel better.
You feel better. You feel better, and you know what? You can feel better, and then also feel better when you have the new amiibo in your hands, and you can have both. And you're I'm done.
I don't know if this was in Canada, but I just found out yesterday in North America, GameStop is having a deal for all of their pre-owned toy-to-game figures, so Skylanders, amiibo, and Disney Infinity. Buy two, get three free. Problem
buy
is,
two, get a third free, right?
No.
No. Buy five for the price of two.
Oh, geez.
Wow. Are there any pre-owned amiibos?
I was going to say.
they are not many. On the website, only the Smash Brothers Mario 1 was available. They had a list of others. That says not available online, but click here to check for physical inventory. Majority of them, none available in 100 miles.
Yeah.
And so there is a spattering here. But the problem is I'm not going to find five in any one store.
Mm-hmm. Well, and like we were kind of saying on that Skype or on the message as well, like, anybody who knows anything about amiibo is not going to sell their amiibo to GameStop. They're going to go to Kijiji or to, you know, Craigslist or eBay or whatever, and they're going to sell them there. So as great as that might be, if you're looking for Skylanders or Disney Infinity, that's probably a pretty good deal. But
yeah, they had a few of those figures just down to as low as $3.
Yeah, cool.
But to actually kind of be, I'm half surprised there wasn't a single price of the pre-owned amiibo on the website more than retail.
Yeah,
almost all of them were $11.99. I think a few were $8.99.
Mm-hmm.
But at least they're not pulling what they pulled with Xenoblade Chronicles and opening it and calling it pre-owned. I want $80 for it.
Mm-hmm. Right on. Cool. So, next up, we've got this one from Alan Haas. Jesse, do you want to read this one?
Sure. So today's announcement that the next Splatfest will be Autobots versus Decepticons, in parentheses, Decepticons, has given me a little glimmer of hope that the new Transformers game may be coming to Wii U. Mm. But what's up with all these games that should be on a Nintendo platform but aren't? Transformers, Tembo, Rogue Legacy, and I can't believe that Little Blue Trader Mega Man isn't coming to the Wii U when he owes his existence to the NES. I like that.
I feel like this is a licensing issue.
I'd like to answer a little bit about the back half of these questions first. A lot of those indie games, I think most of those is just they wrote them in an engine that the Wii U doesn't support. Or the engine doesn't support Wii U, more specifically. And so that's why we're just not getting seeing those.
I think as well, like, part of it is it may be a licensing issue where, yes, this Transformers event is that it's like a, you know, it seems to be, like we said earlier, attached to the most recent iteration of the Transformers TV show, and whatever licensing was tied to that. Maybe entirely different divisions of a company, or even two totally different companies that are licensing this same property. You know, like a video game based on Transformers and Splatfest, which is based on a TV show of a toy at Hasbro, right? Like, there's so many different things going on there that the licensing may be weird, which is why we may see a Transformers Splatfest, but not this new Transformers game.
Yeah, I don't think this has anything to do with the new Platinum game coming out.
No, and I don't
think
so.
It's too bad, because everything's based on Gen 1, and I so want that game.
Super
and
cool.
I'd rather get it on Wii U, but I'll get it on PS4 if I have to.
Right.
Either way, I'm getting it.
Yeah. Although we are seeing, I mean, like, I think it was recently we saw an announcement, if I'm remembering correctly, that even, like, the Telltale game Walking Dead is coming to Wii U at some point. Now, Wii U has finally started to see, like, it seems like it's gotten enough traction that that it is attracting more of these types of games. Didn't Minecraft get announced for Wii U as well?
Not officially. I think it might have been some spinoff.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, it's a Minecraft clone that's kind of been in the eShop for a while.
Okay. Anyway.
I think Mojang's just staying away from Wii U altogether.
Mm-hmm. Oh, here we go. Though it says...
Even before Microsoft bought them.
Yeah. I guess at E3 they teased that it might actually come to Nintendo consoles at some point. So maybe that's all it was that I saw. Anyway, I don't know. I wouldn't get too excited about what this Splatfest means for future games, unfortunately. Any other thoughts? How are we doing on time, guys? We got time for one more?
We got one more email and then we're out.
All right, cool. Justin, you want to read this last one?
Absolutely. I could read it. Hey, Dad. And this is Chris, a longtime listener and contributor to our questions. I have a question for you about a very awkward thing in recent Nintendo games. Spectator mode. What is the purpose of this? I don't know anyone who'd rather watch a game than play a game. Please enlighten this confused gamer.
Ugh. Eugene, do you ever use these spectator modes at all?
I'm not even sure what he's talking about.
So, like,
which games have spectator mode?
The game that I can specifically think of, this is the only one I can think of, because Splatoon doesn't have it, does it?
No.
Smash Brothers, I know, does have it.
And so does Mario Kart.
And Mario Kart has it.
You're waiting for a game to load.
When you're waiting.
Only right. When you're waiting for to get into a lobby.
It's just giving
whatever,
you something. I'm trying to think of what else it would be.
Not a Nintendo game, but you'd see spectator modes a lot in RTS games MOBAs.
Sure.
And those are useful if you're learning the game and want to pick up new strategies, you'll watch how other people play.
And I think that same thing with Smash Brothers, right?
The game.
Yeah, same thing with Smash Brothers.
But I agree, just watching someone play the game isn't as exciting versus a proper Let's Play who the player is commenting on himself, which is something that my youngest daughter is wanting toying with trying to do, and I'd like to try to do, but I can't talk to myself while I play the games. I distract myself, so probably it could be a bad idea.
Yeah, that's doing my streaming over the past couple of days, I've noticed that too. I'm like, oh, I should probably talk while I'm playing this. One of my favorite iterations of this is the Smash Brothers one, where they have spectate, but they also allow you to bet on the matches.
Gambling is not really quite gambling.
Yeah. So me and my son sat down and my son was like, oh, let's watch some games. And he was like, I was like, all right, Nick, let's figure out, see who's going to win here. And it kind of gives you the over under on what this person's online average is. And so we're like, okay, before we knew it, me and my 4-year-old son are gambling online. I'm like, oh, what is going on? stop. But, it's actually really fun, because it makes it a little bit more enjoyable to sit and watch somebody else play. Because you've got a little,
you have a vested interest.
I've invested right. 500 gold of, of my own gold in Smash Brothers to go on here. And he's got this low win rate, but he's playing as a really good character. And so he must be, it must be okay. And so and sometimes you just pull through and make a ton of money. And then it's all right, double or nothing. And I'm like, oh, you gotta be kidding me. It's a lot of fun. So
that's an instant.
You gotta ride the streak.
Yeah, exactly. So it's a really fun way of doing it. I think it's just another way of enjoying video games. The same thing could be said for what's the deal with Twitch, right? But obviously people want to watch people play video games. I think even if you look at Dota 2, for example, in the Dota 2, I don't play it, but apparently they have a, like a way to view, like their recent championships. There was a way to watch them in game in the client. So, you know, there's lots of different ways to do that. Esports are a huge thing. I'm a big fan of Blizzard and their games. I'm a big fan of Hearthstone. And so, like, I'm, you know, there's a spectator mode in there as well. And, I, you know, every once in a while I'll jump in and watch, a friend playing a game as well. And so, you know, just learning how to play the game and learn the intricacies of it and all that kind of stuff is pretty fun. So that, I think, is why spectator mode is a thing. Any other thoughts on that, guys?
No.
Nope.
Good question.
All right. Cool. Mm-hmm. Well,
let's round this thing out.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's here. Let me get my music.
And just as Zach's pulling up that music, Eugene, where can people find all the goodness that you do and that the Magic Hour show does? And plug.
Yeah, sure. You can follow me on Twitter at GamerParent. That's me. And of course, I run the website GamerParent.net, which is where it all started. And then the magichourshow.net is the website for the show. So you can go there. You can find us on iTunes. You can find us on Stitcher, Facebook. You know, just look for the Magic Hour Show and you'll find us.
Very cool. Yeah. Right on. Well, thanks again for being on the show, man. Really appreciate
it. Thanks for having
me. It's been great. As well, everybody, we want to remind you of our weird and amazing offer from underoos.com. Until the end of the month, you can get underwear $5 off if you go and use the code NINDADS. And we're giving away free underwear at the end of the month. So I think what we're going to do, go to youtube.com/C/NintendoDads. I'm going to post a video up there. And we're just going to get people to leave comments on that video. And the person who we choose as a winner from that YouTube video is going to win some free underwear. You'll get to pick one from the website, and they're going to ship it to you for free. So super exciting. And again, we thank Underoos just for their love of the show. It's been
and Zach, for those of you that are not watching the visual stream, Zach is wearing his Captain America Underoos currently, or at least his topper.
Yeah,
we can only see from the top up. I don't really want to know from the bottom down.
I'm gonna just maintain,
but that's a surprise for everybody else.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's again super fun to have them a part of the show during the month of August.
Legit question though, how's your kid liking them?
He loves them. Like I was kind of saying last week, we had to peel them off him because he had to wash them. And so, he was like, oh, what? I don't want, and then I was like, no, dude, it's awesome. These are really cool. And then he was like, okay, I'll try them. And then ever since he was really excited about it. So yeah, he loves them. It's really fun. So go and check them out. And again, you can use that code and get $5 off the order as well. So, and again, just heading out the show here, you can find us on all of the social medias, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, at Nintendo Dads. Email us nintendodads@gmail.com. twitch.tv/nintendodads is where you can find us every Wednesday night. And you can head over to youtube.com/C/nintendodads. That's our official vanity URL that I got figured out. So you can go over there and find all of our videos there, including all those Let's Plays I've been doing. Call in and leave us a voicemail, 929-25-NDADS. That's 929-256-3237. Big thanks to OC Remix for the music throughout the show, as well as to Carter Johnson for our incredible artwork. You can go check her out over at megacarter.tumblr.com. And if you're going to do one thing this week, ladies and gentlemen, to change the world, head over to iTunes and leave a 5-star rating for us, and a written review is even better. You can download us at iTunes, Stitcher, and VGTribune.com. Again, thanks everybody for listening to the show this week, and we will see you next time. Bye-bye.
Oh, and Zach, roll out.
Oh, no. Wait.
You are the worst for music.
Oh, man, dude. Okay, we got to talk about that so that I'm not thrown off. Are we going to do the touch?
Yeah, I think
start
so.
With the touch this time?
Yeah.
Okay. Let me test the touch then.
Thank you for listening to Nintendo Dads.
There we go.
That's always such a...